Don't walk near the mic. Good morning. Would you begin bowing your head with me in prayer, please? Father in heaven, we come before the throne this morning and we pause. Lord, how you know that in our lives we need more pause. In the pace of life and living, in the pace of this past week, coming here this morning with all the things that we brought from this past week, all the things that are upon us today, and all the things that we're forecasting in our minds about this coming week, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would help us pause. And as we hear your word, Lord, open our hearts to you, that you might minister to each one of us individually in the way that we so need to hear your words of confrontation and comfort and forgiveness and blessing upon our way. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for the introduction, by the way, a little bit ago. It's a joy to be among you as guest pastor, and when you were introducing me with those words about the sermon itself, I was reminded of another pastor who reminded me there are two criteria when a pastor allows a guest person to come and take the place in the pulpit. He said, I only have two requirements of you. Number one, that you tell them about Jesus. Very important. Number two, that they're glad I'm preaching next Sunday. I'll try to fulfill both of those, so let the word preach itself. Actually, in the text this morning, I'd like to add one additional verse to the gospel lesson, and that's the full verse of verse 46 for you, because I think it's very important for what we're talking about. Again, the text before us, the word of God. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. When Pastor and I originally talked about this morning, the question he posed to me, he said, you know, really that text makes us wrestle with, what do you value in your life so much? What has such value to you, to all those of us gathered here, that you would give everything you are and everything you have to possess it? And when he asked me that question, in preparation and thinking about the question, my first thought went back to a man named Daryl, early in ministry in Spencer, Iowa. Daryl was the treasurer for our congregation. Daryl was a rancher outside of town. And a man that I spent a lot of time with, because one of my jobs after the second service, Daryl was always in first, was on Monday morning I was to take the bank bag and go out to Daryl's ranch. And being farm boy background myself, he always invited me to go out and feed cattle with him or do a few chores, and that was always fun, and I would hand him the bank bag. And Daryl, I remember day after day on those Mondays, we would drive around his ranch, which was quite expansive, and he'd tell me about the story over and over again, in case I'd forgotten it, of how he started by as an immigrant and then started as a hired hand on a farm, and that through the years, Daryl had first rented a farm and then bought a farm, and that God had blessed him and it expanded into this big ranch, and he would talk about the various blood, sweat, and tears that he put into that ranch, and we drive around it and look at the cattle and the land and the beautiful Iowa crops that God had blessed him with. And the conversation went on and on about everything from crops to market to ranch, etc., Monday after Monday. And then Daryl got cancer. And I went and visited him at the hospital on a regular basis, and there the hospital is only about a block from where the church was, so that was my usual morning. As the first thing in the morning, I'd check into the office, walk over to the hospital and visit those, and Daryl and I would sit and visit as he was going through his chemotherapy and then his radiation, you know, and we'd talk again about the markets and the ranch and the crops and how they were doing, and of course the rain or lack of rain in that country, etc. good conversations, talk about where he was in his therapy and how it would pray over how God was healing him and blessing him. But things went downhill. And I remember the morning that I walked into Daryl's room and he was crying. I'd never seen Daryl cry, not even when the markets went down. And I said, "Daryl, what's wrong?" And he said, "Pastor, today they took away my underwear." Daryl, at that moment, looked at life and believed that he had lost everything that he valued. But I look at that day as the day of turnaround for Daryl and I. And I can tell you honestly that from that day on, for the next 2 months, Daryl was in the hospital the whole time until the Lord called him home. We never talked about the ranch. We never talked about farming. We talked about Jesus. I thought of that at first when Pastor mentioned this beautiful section of Scripture in the parables. Just to set it into context, if you're not real familiar with the Gospel of Matthew, this is latter in Jesus' ministry. It's coming towards the end. These are some dark days already beginning here, and they're going to get darker towards the cross. This comes after the time when Jesus had made words of separation. He'd been outcast from Nazareth. He'd even already spoken those words regarding family. You know, "These are my brothers, these are my sisters," when they told him, "Your mom and your family's here." Separation. He started to speak about the kingdom of God in parables. Parables, easy to remember, heavenly stories with an earthly meaning. Parables. About what the kingdom of God was about. He did it with large crowds, and then in this section right here in chapter 13, it begins by saying he withdrew from the crowds, and he went into a house and gathered his disciples. And right away we think of, well, they're the 12, but his disciples here is that large group of people who are following them. But he continues to talk to them in parables, trying to explain to them what he's been trying to say to the whole crowd, many of whom walked away. And you know, as I dug into this text, I thought this would be an easy place to become very moralistic, especially since this talks about what is the kingdom of God, and it says the kingdom of God is like, da-da-da, the kingdom is like a pearl, the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden. This would be a good place to become very moralistic, especially with a congregation who has a great theme as they head into this holy adventure you're on of build your kingdom here. About saying, well, it really says to each one of us that we should sell everything we have so that we can build a church, right? Doesn't say that at all. Doesn't say that at all. No, I think that's the natural way, though, for the human heart and mind to respond about what God is requiring of us and what God is asking of us. I have great news for you, first of all, this morning. You know that pearl of great treasure? You know that treasure hidden in the field? Men, women, young people of God, that's you. That's you. You see, this is pure, only, and sweet, holy gospel for us. Jesus tells them a parable about what the kingdom of God really is. The kingdom of God is the reign and the rule of our God in the person and the work of Jesus Christ so that you might be his own. This is about a God who loves you to the extent you, a fallen, sinful human being, loves you to the extent that he would, he could, and he did give his only begotten Son, so that you might know life. The truth of the gospel of God is this: if you were the only one that God created in Eden, if you alone were the one that fell in Eden, Jesus Christ would still have had to die on a cross to redeem you. And he did. So that when you and I partook of that holy water of baptism, you know, when it was poured over your head, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, you were baptized into that death so that you might have, not hope for, not reach for, not do something to attain, so that you might have eternal life. For me, I remember it very well. It was a little church in Lynn, Kansas. It's out in the country in Strawberry Township. It's a little white font, eight sides on the font, which, by the way, is the symbol of eternity. That's why there's eight sides on a font. It stands about that high, and every time I'm in that area, I try to drive by that church and walk up to that font, because it's a special place for me, and you have a place like that too. It may be a font, it may have been a stream, it may have been a river, it may be a baptism tank, wherever it is. Well, you have that spot too, and I look at that place because, you see, I know that there I went to eternity there. You and I are eternal children God. How does that relate to what we're doing, this holy adventure we're calling Build Your Kingdom here? Well, you see, God is still about building His kingdom. And really, Build Your Kingdom here is not about motivating us. We already have that, because all of our life now becomes response to what God has done, not action, so that God will act on our behalf. We're done. We're eternal people. Heaven is our own. We go out with assurance when he says in Matthew chapter 28, a little later, go into all the world now and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things whatsoever I commanded you. And then the promise, for lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this world. In other words, into eternity. You see, that's how we go into these coming weeks. And in the coming weeks, Pastor is going to open those scriptures again and explore what that means in the inspiration phase of what we're going through. What does it mean for the redeemed children of God, the eternal children of God, the people whom he has gathered here at Christ Lutheran Church in Vail, Arizona? What does it mean for us? What does it mean for me individually as a child of God, baptized eternal into his name? What does it mean for me to respond from what God has done for me so that he might continue through me to build his kingdom here? That kingdom that for someone out here in this community, God is searching right now. They're buried out here in the community of people. They're the great treasure he pursues through you. They are the pearl of great price that he would have us spend all that we are and have as a body of Christ so that they may know that truth. For they each and all have that value in his heart. Amen. Let's pray that God does that. Would you bow your heads with me? Father in heaven, thank you, first of all, for the kind of love that wrapped your arms around me personally and brought me, a sinner, into your kingdom, forgiven, redeemed, to stand before the throne the rest of my life knowing I am eternal. Heaven is mine. That assurance cannot be shaken because it's in the cross. Lord, as I consider what that means in this coming week, guide my decisions, guide my path, guide my attitude, that it may respond to others with that same hope, that they may see your kingdom through me and be drawn to the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.